Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, saints. Welcome to another manna from heaven. I hope you have had a blessed, as I have had, in prayer, in meditation, in the scriptures. I hope this series has been a blessing to you. We're winding it down. Of course, Jesus is requesting the most difficult cases. He did 2,000 years ago, and he's doing the same today. Why is he requesting the most difficult cases? Because we can't handle them. They're his to handle. We're to turn to him in faith and in prayer. Our scripture text reads, Mark 9:19. Jesus answered the Father and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long will I suffer you? Bring the child to me. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We praise your name. We are humbled, and we humble ourselves. We come on our knees to your throne of grace, and we beseech you, Lord, to again shower us with grace and mercy. Bless us, O Lord, we pray, as we turn to Scripture. Open our eyes that we may see things we have never seen before. They've always been there, but we've never seen them before. Help us, Lord. Help your church at large. Help us at Grace. Help us in St. Johnsville. Help us in Dodgeville. Help us in Little Falls. Help us in Utica. Help us in Fort Plain. Help us at Palatine Bridge. Help us in this region, we pray. Oh, Lord, we pray. We pray for a visitation of God, so sorely needed. We are in desperate straits. We are surrounded by so many difficult cases. Help us, O God, pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We talked about Jesus and the faithless generation on Wednesday. On Thursday, we talked about Jesus and the boy's father, the demon-possessed boy's father. On Friday, we talked about Jesus and the demon, and Jesus and the boy. Today, we want to talk about Jesus and us, Jesus and his disciples. We read in the text that when Jesus was up in the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John, the other nine disciples were left at the foot of the mountain to minister to the needs of the people. In Jesus' absence, they brought to the nine disciples a boy who was demon-possessed, with a demon who made the boy dumb and deaf. Not only was the boy dumb and deaf, but in addition to that, the boy was extremely suicidal. There were moments when the boy would be flung into the fire by the demon, other times into bodies of water by the demon. Now, of course, the demon was abusive. The demon afflicted the boy, and the demon tormented the boy, and by tormenting the boy, tormented the father. And the demon did not want to kill the boy, but just torment him to the edge of suicide, bringing him to the edge, but never allowing the boy to commit suicide, because the demon wanted the boy to be its host body. So this went on and on and on since the boy had been a child. In desperation, the father turns to Jesus, brings the boy to Jesus, finds that Jesus is not among the multitude, but that he has gone away. And so he appeals to the nine disciples of Christ and begs them to relieve their son of the demon, of which they could not do, of which they miserably failed. And so it is with the church today. The church today is an utter failure when it comes to the demonic, when it comes to Satan, when it comes to demonic possession. When we see the church today, the church can preach a lot, teach a lot, provide much counseling, provide much worship, provide much praise. Notice, preaching, teaching, counseling, worship, praise. You name it, the church can provide it, except one thing: setting men free. That is the work of God. So Jesus has a one-on-one session with his disciples. And we're going to pick it up in Mark 9, 28 and 29. And when he, referring to Jesus, was coming to the house, his disciples, his students, his close followers, asked him privately, "Why could not we cast him out? Lord, what happened? Why did we fail? You had already sent us on a mission. We had already cast out demons. We had already expelled and evicted demons from the bodies of many. Why could we not cast this one out? Why?" This is a private question and answer session between Jesus and his disciples. And we can actually transport ourselves there and sit among them and be asking the same thing. Lord, why have we failed? Why have we failed so miserably to push back the forces of darkness? Why have we failed so miserably to affect our community? Why have we failed to advance the cause of Christ? Why have we failed to gain any ground on the forces of darkness? Why have we failed? Why is it, instead of going forward, your church everywhere is going backwards? Why is it that instead of your church advancing, we are retreating? Instead of your church conquering, we are losing. Why, Lord? Why? And the answer is simple. He said unto them, this kind of demon, this kind of evil spirit, this kind of foul spirit, only come forth by prayer and fasting. Again, you look at the church today. The church will preach. The church will teach. The church will provide counseling. The church will provide enough praise and worship. But one thing I find that church folk are extremely allergic to, resistant to, want nothing to do with, and that is prayer and fasting. When you pray and fast, that is what we call private or closet ministry. Most people in the church want to be seen. Most people in the church want to be heard. They want to be seen and they want to be heard by the public. Many people in the church want to use the pulpit and the platform to showcase their talents, their abilities, and giftings. So thus, they are given to preaching, teaching, counseling, worship, and praise, but few, if any, give themselves to prayer and fasting. By praying, we admit that we are weak. By fasting, we admit that we are most desperate. My brothers and sisters, I got to tell you, if we don't start praying more and if we don't start fasting more, we will lose the battle. The devil has no problem with us preaching day and night. The devil has no problem with me doing manna day after day after day. The devil has no problem me having 100 counseling sessions per week. He'll say, hey, Torres, keep counseling. The devil will have no problem if we do 24-hour praise and worship. In fact, he'll join us. The one thing the devil fears more than anything, prayer. Why? Because when we pray, we are fetching. We are securing power from on high. The kind of power necessary to evict and defeat him. That power to evict and defeat the devil does not come by preaching, does not come by teaching, does not come by praising, does not come by worshiping, does not come by providing counseling. The power we need to push back Satan back into the hole where he came from comes by means of prayer. And it's the last thing church people want to do. I have a quote here from William Copter. He wrote, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. Oh, that is so true. Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. I'm reminded of Fred Beck's quote, who said, when you are swept off your feet, it's time to get on your knees. I hope you wrote that down. When you are swept off your feet, like these disciples were. Oh, they were so embarrassed. Oh, they went to casting out the devil. Oh, they went into spiritual warfare mode. And the devil laughed at them and mocked them and did not come out. The disciples failed to get on their knees. When you are swept off your feet, Fred Beck said, it's time to get on your knees. And Lewis Evans Jr. said, the man who kneels to God can stand up to anything. The man who kneels to God can stand up to anything. You know, our Lord and Savior Jesus left us the primary example. Did Jesus preach? Yes. Did Jesus teach? Of course. Did Jesus provide counsel? Absolutely. Did Jesus worship and praise God? Absolutely. But more than anything else, the Son of Man, the Son of God, Christ the Savior, prayed more and fasted more, and this is why he did more and accomplished more. Because when we pray, when you and I pray, we're saying to God, Lord, we don't have the means to fight the devil. Will you empower us? Will you anoint us for victory? And when we fast, we're saying to God, oh Lord, we are most desperate. We need your aid now. And when we fast, and when we pray, and we kneel before the Lord, and we stay there until we get our prayer request answered. God looks at us and says, these are the servants I can trust because they have humbled themselves. They have realized that they have no power to combat Satan and his army, and they have turned to me for the victory. So when we pray and when we fast, we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. We say to him, we are incapable of defeating the enemy. Will you come to our aid? Will you provide us with the victory that we need in Jesus' name? Now, my brothers and sisters, you look at the church today. You look around all of Christendom. Prayer has become obsolete. Fasting has become obsolete. No one's praying anymore, much less fasting anymore. People are trying to win the lost through clever preaching, clever teaching, clever counseling, hip-hop worship and praise, and it's not going to cut it. It's not going to get it done. The rules of engagement are simple. If we don't fast and if we don't pray, we're done for. We're finished. It's over. We will lose. So I encourage you to fast and pray regularly. To fast and pray in secret, so that when the enemy shows up on a given Sunday, remember, Satan is not going to telegraph to us. He's not going to send us an email. He's not going to call us or send us a text and tell us, I'm coming to church on Sunday to embarrass you. Trust me, when he comes, it'll be a surprise attack. And on that day of the confrontation will reveal if we were playing games or if we were praying and fasting. You see, the confrontation, the battle, and the outcome of that battle, if we win, it proves that we were seeking God after the due order. And what is the due order? To add to our prayers seasons of fasting. Seasons of deep humiliation before God, to fetch strength from heaven, to fight the good fight of faith. So, do we want to solve the most difficult cases? Two things we need. In our church, if grace is going to be a mighty church, mighty in the scriptures, mighty in the spirit, two things. One, always preach Jesus. Always present to the multitude Jesus as the answer. And two, make fasting and praying a priority. Well, saints, we're going to leave it there. Soon, and very soon, a day not too far away, we shall be tested. And what will they say of us? Will we be embarrassed or will we be victorious? God bless you, saints. Love you much. See you tomorrow in church.
Did you stop to pray this morning as you started on your way? Did you ask the Lord Remember to pray.